Thanks for joining me on episode 576, a special rebroadcast of episode 256 with Daryl Lyons, brought to you because of these uncertain times. And Daryl's take on investing and looking for the future is fresh and different, and I wanted everyone to have a chance to hear it again.
I'm Daryl Lyons, author of 18-280. I challenge you to invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence, and impact the world by using your time, your talent, and your treasures to live out your calling. Having the right behavior with your money is key to doing that. And one way to be inspired to do that is to listen to this, the Inspired Stewardship Podcast with my friend, Scott Mader. And what happens physiologically is many times we get a little dopamine burst and it feels good to make purchases. And we do this on Amazon all the time and it feels good. And then the package comes in and we open the package and that feels good. And we get that dopamine burst when we open the package. And then we got to do it again and again and again and again. And the marketing firms, they have got the middle class in a place that's real struggle.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. If you truly desire to become the person who God wants you to be, then you must learn to use your time, your talent, and your treasures for your true calling. In the Inspired Stewardship Podcast, you will learn to invest in yourself, invest in others, and develop your influence so that you can impact the world. In today's interview with Daryl Lyons, he talks with you about investing in yourself. Daryl talks with you about money challenges that are unique to the middle class, what behavioral finance is and why that matters, and how finances can affect you as a small business owner, and lots more. One reason I like to bring you great interviews like the one you're going to hear today is because of the power in learning from others. Another great way to learn from others is through reading books. But if you're like most people today, you find it hard to find the time to sit down and read. And that's why today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to inspiredstewardship.com/audible to sign up, and you can get a 30-day free trial. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and instead of reading, you can listen your way to learn from some of the greatest minds out there. That's inspiredstewardship.com/audible to get your free trial and listen to great books the same way you're listening to this podcast. So if you've ever felt like there were money challenges that were unique to the middle class, well, you're right. Daryl, you've worked with thousands of middle-class families and their money. My wife and I are one of them. Can you talk about what you've learned about the unique challenges that face the middle class with their money?
So the middle class is really, there's a real problem here. And I want to make sure I'm clear. The reason I focus in on the middle class is not an indictment of social classes, because, you know, it would imply that maybe a lower class or an upper class is less than, and it's really not the case. You know, maybe a lower class, those that just simply socioeconomic conditions, they just have different needs. Those that mainly rely on government subsidies to maintain their standard of living, there's just different needs. Whereas the upper class, those maybe with yachts, they have different needs. So when I really focus in on the middle class, it's because I want to get focus of conversation. And the needs of the middle class are really challenging, and they're particularly challenging today. In 1975, our savings rate, we were saving 17% of our income, and today we are saving 3.5%. And it's not because we have less information than we did in the 70s or 80s or 90s. We have way more information. There's really something else going on there. And the middle class, I'm there as well, are really getting smoked with our money. And it's really becoming a problem with health insurance premiums and healthcare costs rising and, you know, tax challenges. And then just swiping our debit card too much. You know, there's just so many challenges, and I really want to address the middle class and see if I can help them.
So Daryl, in 18 to 80, I know your focus is on this topic of behavioral finance. So what are some of those most common behavioral money mistakes maybe from the middle class, and how can we recognize and fix them?
Yeah, so there's so many, and behavioral finance is the collision. It's a study that started in the 70s. Daniel Kahneman and Tversky. If you really look at behavioral finance, it started in 1776 with a guy named Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations. Mm-hmm. But it really didn't get a lot of momentum until the 70s. And then just lately, it's got a tremendous amount of momentum. There's so much study in this space. And the reason being is behavior is the one thing that we need to fix. I talked about information making change in the middle class lives, and it's not working. We have more information, but it's not moving the needle. It's behavior that has to change. And so, as an example, to answer your question directly, we swipe our debit cards so quickly now. You know, when in back when we had to break a 20 at McDonald's, since that time makes $3.50 more per transaction, because people are no longer pausing and thinking about what they're purchasing. Mm-hmm. There's no friction to our buying anymore. And so as a result of all this one-click pay on Amazon and all these, even optical purchases are on your watch, because there's no friction, our purchasing is much quicker, much faster, and there's zero thought. And what happens physiologically is many times we get a little dopamine burst and it feels good to make purchases. And we do this on Amazon all the time, and it feels good. And then the package comes in and we open the package and that feels good. And we get that dopamine burst when we open the package. And then we got to do it again and again and again and again. And the marketing firms, they have got the middle class in a place that's real struggle. In fact, one marketing company I heard of, they'll pump the smell of apple pies in an appliance store and sales will go up 23%. Mm-hmm. And so these marketing firms, they know middle class, and they know that we will not pause and there's no friction to our buying and that we love it and we're addicted to this dopamine burst. And before you know it, we wake up and we have zero money to give, zero money to save, and zero money to invest. And we wonder where it all went, and it just goes so fast. It's so easy. And I'm subject to this just as much as anybody else. I have to think about, before I buy something, I have to think about it. Do I need it? Do I love it? And I have to be very careful, just like everyone else. We're really, it's a real problem for the middle class. That's one behavioral finance issue that we're dealing with. If you look at the study of behavioral finance, there's over 100 of them, and they're described in various ways, but that's just one of many. Some of them are in our investing strategy, and some of them are in our purchasing. Some of them are rooted in the way our parents raised us, and we lean on heuristics or biases to make decisions based on how we were raised. And so this study of behavioral finance really gets deep, but a key one that your audience should know about is the challenges of marketing, being very aggressive towards the middle class, and us having no pause and no friction in our purchasing. That's probably the one that people can start thinking about deeply now.
Absolutely. And I love that term, the friction not being there. That's one of those things that I've talked about before on the podcast, and I've talked with coaching clients is, you know, oftentimes we think of friction as only bad, and we don't think of it, the fact that sometimes you want to create friction in a system or in a process because it slows you down and causes you to think. And then there's other times that you want to get rid of friction so that it makes things run smoother and run makes everything, you know, happen without thought, so to speak. But this idea of no friction around our spending, I've seen that. I've worked with folks on their budgets, and I'm sure you've seen, you know, through all of the clients that you've seen, where like eating out seems to be the most common area of overspending. And it's exactly what you were talking about. There's no friction there. We just swipe the card and grab the meal and off we go.
Well, it's so true. And Scott, it's funny because it was either, I think it might have been, gosh, time flies now, but I think it was 2016, that first time in our country ever that dining out exceeded eating at home. First time in our country ever. And so we really are. I mean, people, it's funny because I'll have conversations many times because we manage a lot of people's money, and they'll say, I'm really concerned about the markets. There's a lot of problems and there's real concern, and I need to address those. I can't just discount them, but I go, have you looked at the Chili's parking lot lately? I think we're doing okay. You know, I mean, just look at Target and Chili's. We're doing all right. And I know the thought of concerns about the market are rooted in the future, not in the present. But the reality is that, you know, we're doing okay as a country, and we're spending a ton of money at these restaurants. And it's, I say this, it's such a corny joke. It's like a dad joke, but it's eating our lunch. You know, it really is. So we in the middle class, we need to get a handle on this one. And that includes, you know, alcohol purchases. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, you know, if you can just drink some water, if you're going out to eat, if you can commit to split, you know, that's a strategy. It'll save you some money and some calories. I've got a family of six, and it is no joke. When we eat out, it is expensive every time. And that's something we think about. And I actually sit down with my kids and I tell them how much it costs to eat out. And I tell them, you know, menu items. And as a parent, that's a useful opportunity. Don't dine out just for education purposes. But if you are dining out and you have kids, use it as an opportunity to share with them how things cost and menu items, and use that opportunity to teach them so they don't make mistakes that you made, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you're a small business owner, or if you ever want to be, then Daryl has some great advice for you. Daryl, what are some of the most common financial mistakes that small business owners make?
Oh my goodness. Well, so I'm a business owner, right? Mm-hmm. and so I have been for 12 years, and I tell you what, it's not easy being a business owner, the degree of anxiety and worry that exists. And I think if I could go back again and do it again, the one thing I would do differently is I wouldn't worry. I know that sounds so easy, you know, after you have an established company, but I think about the idea of worry and how it was rooted in my lack of faith in God and you know, me just trying to put everything on my own shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so I think if I, and even then, what type of decisions did I make rooted in worry? So I think if I could go back again, one of the things I would do different is just not worry in the midst of the chaos. That really did me no good, except caused me to make decisions that are rooted in fear or worry and not logical decisions. You know, there's wisdom in, as we know, the scripture says there's wisdom in the counsel of advisors. So I would have spent more time with advisors, which is something that I've learned over the years of just leaning on people more and more for advice. One of the things that I try to do as much as possible is ask a child. Whenever I'm stuck in a difficult decision, I ask a child, a friend, and a sage. And the reason that I would suggest asking those three people is because if you can articulate a complex topic to a child, then you have been able to understand it well. The ability to articulate something complex in a simple way usually means you get it. Then asking a friend, somebody who knows you, is important because they know you. And then asking a sage, somebody who's wise, who's been there before, makes logical sense. And so I think, you know, if I were to go back, and most business owners, I see this just as well. Worrying really is problematic, and not leaning into the counsel of advisors and trusting in him through the process is something that I would definitely go back and do differently. The other thing I would say that is a problem for business owners is the challenge of hiring, of getting the right people on the bus, as we know Jim Collins talks a lot about. It's a real problem. You know, what I used to do when I hired somebody is I would look at them and I'd say, man, they've got some talent. They're good people, but they had problems. They were like a train wreck. And I said, you know what? I could fix this person. If they came in my business, I can fix them and everything will be okay. I've learned that I can't fix people. They come in with their mess. They bring their mess to work. And so I've actually literally stopped hiring people because my team does a better job of being an advocate for me than I would for me. Many times I look at people and I see the best in them and I want to fix them. And so that's just, that just doesn't work as a person who hires people. So now I don't hire people anymore. And the last thing I would say is certainly cash flow. Of course, I'm a finance guy, so I have to mention cash flow for small business owners. And it's really, really important that you pay attention to cash flow. I look at my bank account every Monday and I don't worry about it, but I make sure I pulse on it. I know that my company's burn rate, how much money we burn each month, and I make sure our taxes are paid. I set money aside every month for taxes, and I make sure those monies get sent to the IRS. And so paying attention to cash flow is really critical. Totally depending on somebody else to do everything is dangerous, because I've seen, and you've probably seen this over the years, that key people who we trusted made mistakes or stole or were just negligent. But the consequence falls on the hands of the owner who's responsible for paying those taxes. And so if you have people that are paying taxes for you, trust but verify, like Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify them. So those three things I would say is, I would say less worry. I would say in your hiring process, maybe even have somebody else do that for you if you're not good at it. And then make sure you get your taxes paid.
Yeah, I think I actually had this conversation with a friend who's also a small business owner just the other day about, you know, they said, well, I really hate, you know, the accounting. I hate the numbers. I hate cash flow. I hate all of this stuff. I'm just going to outsource all of it and then let them do all of it. And I'm like, you know, even if you outsource it, which is fine, you know, that's a good thing. You need to hire a bookkeeper, CPA, whatever. That's all good. But you still have to know your numbers. You know, it doesn't abdicate you from the responsibility of knowing the flow of money in your business. And if all you do is just give it away and say, here, you run all of that, you're just, the potential of problems is astronomical. And it was interesting to challenge them on that, because they really weren't thinking that way. But it's true. You've seen it. I've seen it. It happens all the time.
It does. Yep, I agree.
So, Daryl, if you had to share your top two or three resources that everyone should use to invest in themselves, what would those be?
Yeah, so I wrote, my first book was Small Business, Big Pressure, and that was written several years ago. And I always tell people that book was, if these three people had a baby together, this would be their baby, this book. And those three people are Dave Ramsey, his Total Money Makeover and his curriculum, Financial Peace University, highly recommended. Jim Collins, really love his stuff from Good to Great, and his research on small business. It's, you can nerd out on his stuff, but it's really, really good. And then Bill Loveless, who is a spiritual mentor of mine, Christ's Life Ministry. If those three people got together and wrote a book, it would come out Small Business, Big Pressure. But you know, if I really think all three of them have, in and of themselves, have very useful content. Of course, Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, most people know about that. But if you haven't been through that with your spouse, highly recommend it. It's worth the time and effort. Jim Collins, grabbing one of his books, you're gonna learn new nomenclature that business owners today use regularly. You know, if we talk about get off the right seat and get on the right seat, you don't know what they're talking about, it's because you haven't read Jim Collins' stuff. And so now business owners are using his language almost that as though it's business language today. And you need to get up to speed with Jim Collins' work. And then Bill Loveless, Christ's Life Ministry, has absolutely changed my life. It's not Bill that did it, but God through Bill. And there's plenty of resources to either start a Bible study or jump into his Bible studies or his conferences. He's located in San Antonio, and he's a good man, and he's really changing the lives of a lot of people in San Antonio, just kind of under the radar.
So you can connect with Daryl by following him on LinkedIn as Daryl W. Lyons. And just because he's got a couple of unusual spellings, Daryl is D-A-R-R-Y-L, and Lyons is L-Y-O-N-S. And so that's Daryl W. Lyons. Or on his Twitter as Pax Financial Group, with the group is GRP. So that's Pax Financial GRP. At Facebook, Pax Financial Group. And you can also find Daryl over at his website. That's kind of the home base, and you can find links to all of this, of course, in our show notes over at Inspired Stewardship. But his website is paxfinancialgroup.com. Daryl, is there anything that you'd like to add?
Yeah, so I set up a link for your listeners, paxfinancialgroup.com/inspired. And in that link, I have a video that will inform you of whether or not Social Security will be there. I have a 40-point pivot checklist as well, and so you can find that there. And we should also have a link. If we don't have it up, let me know, but we should have it up by the time you get on there, because my next book, 18280, will be out, and you should be able to grab it on there. But if not, you'll be able to get it on Amazon. Just search in 18280, and that's a helpful resource for you as well.
Thanks so much for listening to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. As a subscriber and listener, we challenge you to not just sit back and passively listen, but act on what you've heard and find a way to live your calling. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please do us a favor. Go over to inspiredstewardship.com/iTunes rate, all one word, iTunes rate. It'll take you through how to leave a rating and review and how to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you can get every episode as it comes out in your feed. Until next time, invest your time, your talent, and your treasures. Develop your influence and impact the world.